The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 28. The Killing of the Tree Spirit. Section 4. Bringing in Summer. I end the preceding ceremonies, the return of spring, summer, or life, as a sequel to the expulsion of death, is only implied or at most announced. In the following ceremonies it is plainly enacted. Thus in some parts of Bohemia the effigy of death is drowned by being thrown into the water at sunset. Then the girls go out into the wood and cut down a young tree with a green crown, hang a doll dressed as a woman on it, deck the whole with green, red, and white ribbons, and march in procession with their lido, summer, into the village, collecting gifts and singing. Death swims in the water, spring comes to visit us, with eggs that are red, with yellow pancakes. We carry death out of the village, we are carrying summer into the village. In many Silesian villages the figure of death, after being treated with respect, is stripped of its clothes and flung with curses into the water, or torn to pieces in a field. Then the young folk repair to a wood, cut down a small fir tree, peel the trunk, and deck it with festoons of evergreens, paper roses, painted eggshells, motley bits of cloth, and so forth. The tree thus adorned is called Summer or May. Boys carry it from house to house singing appropriate songs and begging for presents. Among their songs is the following. We have carried death out, we are bringing the dear summer back, the summer and the May and all the flowers gay. Sometimes they also bring back from the wood a prettily adorned figure, which goes by the name of Summer, May, or the Bride. In the Polish districts it is called Dziewanna, the goddess of spring. At Eisenach on the fourth Sunday in Lent young people used to fasten a straw man, representing death, to a wheel, which they trundled to the top of a hill. Then setting fire to the figure they allowed it in the wheel to roll down the slope. Next day they cut a tall fir tree, draped it out with ribbons, and set it up in the plain. The men then climbed the tree to fetch down the ribbons. In Upper Lusatia the figure of death, made of straw and rags, is dressed in a veil furnished by the last bride and a shirt provided by the house in which the last death took place. Thus arrayed the figure is stuck on the end of a long pole and carried at full speed by the tallest and strongest girl, while the rest pelt the effigy with sticks and stones. Whoever hits it will be sure to live through the year. In this way death is carried out of the village and thrown into the water or over the boundary of the next village. On their way home each one breaks a green branch and carries it gaily with him till he reaches the village, when he throws it away. Sometimes the young people of the next village, upon whose land the figure has been thrown, run after them and hurl it back, not wishing to have death among them. Hence the two parties occasionally come to blows. In these cases death is represented by the puppet which is thrown away, summer or life by the branches or trees which are brought back. But sometimes a new potency of life seems to be attributed to the image of death itself, and by a kind of resurrection it becomes the instrument of the general revival. Thus in some parts of Lusatia women alone are concerned in carrying out death, and suffer no male to meddle with it. Attired in mourning, which they wear the whole day, they make a puppet of straw, clothe it in a white shirt, and give it a broom in one hand and a scythe in the other. Singing songs and pursued by urchins throwing stones, they carry the puppet to the village boundary, where they tear it in pieces. Then they cut down a fine tree, hang the shirt on it, and carry it home singing. On the Feast of Ascension the Saxons of Brala, a village of Transylvania, not far from Hermannstadt, observe the ceremony of carrying out death, in the following manner. After morning service all the schoolgirls repair to the house of one of their number, and there dress up the death. This is done by tying a threshed out sheaf of corn into a rough semblance of a head and body, while the arms are simulated by a broomstick thrust through it horizontally. The figure is dressed in the holiday attire of a young peasant woman, with a red hood, silver breeches, and a profusion of ribbons at the arms and breast. The girls bustle at their work, for soon the bells will be ringing to vespers, and the death must be ready in time to be placed at the open window, that all the people may see it on their way to church. When vespers are over, the longed-for moment has come for the first procession with the death to begin. It is a privilege that belongs to the school girls alone. Two of the older girls seize the figure by the arms and walk in front, all the rest follow two and two. Boys may take no part in the procession, but they troop after it gazing with open-mouthed admiration at the beautiful death. So the procession goes through all the streets of the village, the girls singing the old hymn that begins. Gott mein Vater, der ein Lieb regt, so ist der Himmel ist. To a tune that differs from the ordinary one. When the procession has wound its way through every street, the girls go to another house, and having shut the door against the eager prying crowd of boys who follow at their heels, they strip the death and pass the naked truss of straw out of the window to the boys, who pounce on it, run out of the village with it without singing, and fling the dilapidated effigy into the neighboring brook. This done, the second scene of the little drama begins. While the boys were carrying away the death out of the village, the girls remained in the house, and one of them is now dressed in all the finery which had been worn by the effigy. Thus arrayed she is led in procession through all the streets to the singing of the same hymn as before. When the procession is over they all betake themselves to the house of the girl who played the leading part. Here a feast awaits them from which also the boys are excluded. It is a popular belief that the children may safely begin to eat gooseberries and other fruit after the day on which death has thus been carried out. For death, which up to the time lurked especially in gooseberries, is now destroyed. Further, they may now bathe with impunity out of doors. Very similar is the ceremony which, down to recent years, was observed in some of the German villages of Moravia. Boys and girls met on the afternoon of the first Sunday after Easter, and together fashioned a puppet of straw to represent death. Decked with bright colored ribbons and cloths, and fastened to the top of a long bowl, the effigy was then borne with singing and clamor to the nearest height, where it was stripped of its gay attire and thrown or rolled down the slope. One of the girls was next dressed in the gauds taken from the effigy of death, and with her at its head the procession moved back to the village. In some villages the practice is to bury the effigy in the place that has the most evil reputation of all the countryside, others throw it into running water. In the Lusatian ceremony described above, the tree which is brought home after the destruction of the figure of death is plainly equivalent to the trees or branches which, in the preceding customs, were brought back as representatives of summer or life, after death had been thrown away or destroyed. But the transference of the shirt worn by the effigy of death to the tree clearly indicates that the tree is a kind of revivification, in a new form, of the destroyed effigy. This comes out also in the Transylvanian and Moravian customs, the dressing of a girl in the clothes worn by the death, and the leading her about the village to the same song which had been sung when the death was being carried about, show that she is intended to be a kind of resuscitation of the being whose effigy has just been destroyed. These examples therefore suggest that the death whose demolition is represented in these ceremonies cannot be regarded as the purely destructive agent which we understand by death. If the tree which is brought back as an embodiment of the reviving vegetation of spring is clothed in the shirt worn by the death which has just been destroyed, the object certainly cannot be to check and counteract the revival of vegetation, it can only be to foster and promote it. Therefore the being which has just been destroyed, the so-called death, must be supposed to be endowed with a vivifying and quickening influence, which it can communicate to the vegetable and even the animal world. This ascription of a life-giving virtue to the figure of death is put beyond a doubt by the custom, observed in some places, of taking pieces of the straw effigy of death and placing them in the fields to make the crops grow, or in the manger to make the cattle thrive. Thus in Spatschendorf, a village of Austrian Silesia, the figure of death, made of straw, brushwood, and rags, is carried with wild songs to an open place outside the village and there burned, and while it is burning a general struggle takes place for the pieces, which are pulled out of the flames with bare hands. Each one who secures a fragment of the effigy ties it to a branch of the largest tree in his garden, or buries it in his field, in the belief that this causes the crops to grow better. In the Troppau district of Austrian Silesia, this straw figure which the boys make on the fourth Sunday in Lent is dressed by the girls in women's clothes and hung with ribbons, necklace, and garlands. Attached to a long pole, it is carried out of the village, followed by a troop of young people of both sexes, who alternately frolic, lament, and sing songs. Arrived at its destination, a field outside the village, the figure is stripped of its clothes and ornaments. Then the crowd rushes at it and tears it to bits, scuffling for the fragments. Everyone tries to get a wisp of the straw of which the effigy was made, because such a wisp, placed in the manger, is believed to make the cattle thrive. Or the straw is put in the hen's nest, it being supposed that this prevents the hens from carrying away their eggs, and makes them brood much better. The same attribution of a fertilizing power to the figure of death appears in the belief that if the bearers of the figure, after throwing it away, beat cattle with their sticks, this will render the beasts fat or prolific. Perhaps the sticks had been previously used to beat the death, and so had acquired the fertilizing power ascribed to the effigy. We have seen, too, that at Leipzig a straw effigy of death was shown to young wives to make them fruitful. It seems hardly possible to separate from the May trees the trees or branches which are brought into the village after the destruction of the death. The bearers who bring them in profess to be bringing in the summer, therefore the trees obviously represent the summer. Indeed, in Silesia they are commonly called the summer or the May, and the doll which is sometimes attached to the summer tree is a duplicate representative of the summer, just as the May is sometimes represented at the same time by a May tree and a May lady. Further, the summer trees are adorned like May trees with ribbons and so on. Like May trees, when large, they are planted in the ground and climbed up. And like May trees, when small, they are carried from door to door by boys or girls singing songs and collecting money. And as if to demonstrate the identity of the two sets of customs, the bearers of the summer tree sometimes announce that they are bringing in the summer and the May. The customs, therefore, of bringing in the May and bringing in the summer are essentially the same. And the summer tree is merely another form of the May tree, the only distinction, besides that of name, being in the time at which they are respectively brought in. For while the May tree is usually fetched in on the 1st of May or at Whitsuntide, the summer tree is fetched in on the fourth Sunday in Lent. Therefore, if the May tree is an embodiment of the tree spirit or spirit of vegetation, the summer tree must likewise be an embodiment of the tree spirit or spirit of vegetation. But we have seen that the summer tree is in some cases a revivification of the effigy of death. It follows, therefore, that in these cases the effigy called death must be an embodiment of the tree spirit or spirit of vegetation. This inference is confirmed, first, by the vivifying and fertilizing influence which the fragments of the effigy of death are believed to exercise both on vegetable and on animal life. For this influence, as we saw in an earlier part of this work, is supposed to be a special attribute of the tree spirit. It is confirmed, secondly, by observing that the effigy of death is sometimes decked with leaves or made of twigs, branches, hemp, or a threshed-out sheaf of corn. And that sometimes it is hung on a little tree and so carried about by girls collecting money, just as is done with the May tree and the May lady, and with the summer tree and the doll attached to it. In short, we are driven to regard the expulsion of death and the bringing in of summers, in some cases at least, merely another form of that death and revival of the spirit of vegetation in spring which we saw enacted in the killing and resurrection of the wild man. The burial and resurrection of the carnival is probably another way of expressing the same idea. The interment of the representative of the carnival under a dung heap is natural, if he is supposed to possess a quickening and fertilizing influence like that ascribed to the effigy of death. The Estonians, indeed, who carry the straw figure out of the village in the usual way on Shrove Tuesday, do not call it the carnival, but the wood spirit, Metsik. And they clearly indicate the identity of the effigy with the wood spirit by fixing it to the top of a tree in the wood, where it remains for a year, and is besought almost daily with prayers and offerings to protect the herds. For like a true wood spirit, the metsik is a patron of cattle. Sometimes the metsik is made of sheaves of corn. Thus we may fairly conjecture that the names carnival, death, and summer are comparatively late and inadequate expressions for the beings personified or embodied in the customs with which we have been dealing. The very abstractness of the names bespeaks a modern origin. For the personification of times and seasons like the carnival and summer, or of an abstract notion like death, is not primitive. But the ceremonies themselves bear the stamp of a dateless antiquity. Therefore we can hardly help supposing that in their origin the ideas which they embodied were of a more simple and concrete order. The notion of a tree, perhaps of a particular kind of tree, for some savages have no word for tree in general, or even of an individual tree, is sufficiently concrete to supply a basis from which by a gradual process of generalization the wider idea of a spirit of vegetation might be reached. But this general idea of vegetation would readily be confounded with the season in which it manifests itself. Hence the substitution of spring, summer, or May for the tree spirit or spirit of vegetation would be easy and natural. Again, the concrete notion of the dying tree or dying vegetation would by a similar process of generalization glide into a notion of death in general. So that the practice of carrying out the dying or dead vegetation in spring, as a preliminary to its revival, would in time widen out into an attempt to banish death in general from the village or district. The view that in these spring ceremonies death meant originally the dying or dead vegetation of winter has the high support of W. Mannhardt. And he confirms it by the analogy of the name death as applied to the spirit of the ripe corn. Commonly the spirit of the ripe corn is conceived, not as dead, but as old, and hence it goes by the name of the old man or the old woman. But in some places the last sheaf cut at harvest, which is generally believed to be the seat of the corn spirit, is called the dead one. Children are warned against entering the cornfields because death sits in the corn. And, in a game played by Saxon children in Transylvania at the maize harvest, death is represented by a child completely covered with maize leaves.